Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye Live with The Fedge. Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a pigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware.
All right, everybody, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. Don't know why I'm laughing. Anyways, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, March the 30th, 2019. And a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh has really begun to warm up as we hit a high of 88 degrees today under sunny but breezy conditions. We have had winds upwards of 20 miles per hour today out of the south-southeast, and those breezy conditions are expected to continue on into the evening. Now, temperatures are going to hit a very exceptional, I consider, 75 degrees at midnight tonight, while the overnight low is expected to come in at 68 degrees in the hour before sunrise. And we are currently sitting at 86 degrees at just after 5 in the afternoon local time. So welcome, everybody. Just a nice day. I haven't even been out to venture to even enjoy this nice day. I'm a wind guy. I like the breeze. I like the wind. I haven't even gone outside to enjoy it. Really, because I've just been up doing radio every night, it seems, for the last 3-4 nights. Either I'm listening or I'm doing it. So I'm just up late, and then I have work, and then I sleep, and then I'm up again late. And here we are again. It's probably going to be another one of those days today as I get everything wrapped up. Lots of big stories out there. You know, the Juicy Smollett story, the Trump / Russian collusion implosion story, the New Zealand story, stories coming out of the UK with Brexit and issues regarding nationalism and Facebook going to be going after the quote unquote the nationalists. It's all rather interesting. And unfortunately, or perhaps depending on your attitude, fortunately, we do not have any guests today. So I'm going to be doing 3 hours of intelligent media for the politically aware today. So that means you can sit back, relax, go grab yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, or if you're in the afternoon, evening hours, perhaps a nice glass of wine. I could use a nice beer right now, quite frankly. Good micro beer would be fantastic. Unfortunately, I don't have that. And it would be just kind of nice to get through and have a nice drink while I'm relaxing. But hopefully now I'm within 30 days of heading back to Amman if everything goes according to plan. So I'm hoping that actually does go down. We will find out within the next week or so, but we are starting to wrap things up here, and I'm still trying to get caught up here with the website and everything, but it's fairly well caught up. We just want to say thanks. We are having our best month ever on Inside the Eye Live. This is not the best month ever, I should say, but it's the best organic month ever, where we have not had anybody really going out there and helping us promote or appearing on radio shows that had huge cume. Like, you know, if you show up on Red Ice, to their credit, they really do send a good amount of traffic. So when you do a Red Ice show, you get a big boost for that month and then into the next month. But this is all organically driven, and it is the best month we have had. We have seen our website go from like 1.5 million on the Alexa up to close to 600,000 now. So again, that's a huge climb. We've climbed over 1,000,000 points now within the past month, literally within a month and say 7 days. So we're very, very happy to see that, actually surprised in a way. So we thank you, everybody, for the support. Keep linking. We've been getting a lot of referrals from places like Market, not Market Watch, but from Zero Hedge and a few other sites. So those of you who are linking Inside the Eye Live into chat rooms and forums out there and educating people, it all really adds up, and it's adding up into our best month ever. So thank you so much for that. And again, we hope to continue to bring you some of the more insightful, but just down to earth and pragmatic analysis out there without getting too far out there, but enough to let you understand exactly what's going on. The past week and a half, and it included yesterday, I was asked, not asked, I've been admonished, because for the most part, I've been somebody that has been semi in the Trump camp on his domestic policies. And people have said, you know, Dennis, you're going to have to go against Trump pretty soon because, you know, they're going to start thinking you're a shill and stuff like that. I said, you know what? First of all, I've never been happy with Trump's foreign policy. He's clearly been infiltrated by all of this neocon Israeli-centric type of foreign policy. And I've been very clear and vocal about that. But I was thinking, you know, here's the thing. Those of us who have been doing this a really long time, you have already heard our story 1,000 times. I mean, almost literally. I don't know how many shows I've done, quite frankly, but I've probably done, I should go back and figure it out, to be honest, but I have probably done close to 1,000 shows now. I don't know what it is, 600 shows, 700 shows, something like that, but it's a lot of shows. So you've heard the same thing from me over and over and over, and we know that, and you know that, and people say, Dennis, don't stop doing it because it needs to be repeated. But the point we want to make here is that we have to, from time to time, kind of back off a little bit on what we're doing just to reach out to new audience and get them a little bit of taste of what's going on here at Inside the Eye Live and really the extended alternative media. And without us doing that and backing off a bit, you have to understand what's happening in America. I'm not in America, but I can sense the dynamics of the street a little bit because I do listen now to some shows in America, AM radio, these types of call-in shows. And what I'm finding is that the idea in America, anyways, about this Trump base, you know, we've had a huge win for Trump. Let's be honest. It's a huge win when the Attorney General report came back, the Mueller report, whatever you want to call it, came back and exonerated Trump on this Russian collusion. Quite frankly, I never believed in the Russian collusion from day one. And I was saying, look, this sounds like an idiotic story. What you have inside of America, without a doubt, we have this deep state corruption. And as far as I'm concerned, this is just my opinion. When you have government officials using and abusing their authority to try to overtake and essentially take over the presidency, this is an attempted coup d'etat and it is treason. Now, as far as I am concerned, those responsible, the Nelly Ors, the Clappers, the Comeys, the Brennans, and even Brennan accused, quite frankly, Trump of being a traitor. Now, Trump could be a traitor, but it's more for his Israeli first agenda more than for the Russian agenda. But still, these people have gone out of their way to try to paint this as it is a movement, whether you like it or not, in the alternative media. Some 68, 66, 70s, I don't know, close to who knows how many millions of Americans backed Trump, whether you like it or not. And what he has tried to do for the domestic economy, you just can't argue. I mean, I try to find fault, and I know there's a lot of people that are not appreciating, but you know, you're talking GDP increases of $1 trillion in 1 year. Now, I just have to take that at face value. That's an amazing number. And then another year, the previous year, a GDP increase of $890 billion. Now, again, that's a huge number. Now, that doesn't mean it's solving all of America's problems. But when I hear Trump say, look, you know, the Mexicans got to do something, or we're just going to close the border. That's the type of rhetoric we've wanted to hear, and we need to get out there. We can say it all we want, but we ain't going to get the same coverage as the president is going to get. Now,
here's the point I want to make. We've always felt that Trump was a stopgap because he's a nationalist, but he's also an Israeli firster. And as long as you have an Israeli firster in power, you are going to be subject to Jews and the Israeli state, which means that you are not looking out for America first, unless, of course, Jews get to benefit through the process. And as long as they're winning, they'll go ahead and go for it. And once they start to lose, they will turn like snakes against you. Now, we know this part of what's happening here in the political process. But the point that kind of needs to be made here is that you have to kind of gauge the political wins equally. If you want to maintain some relevance and grow grow and always reach out to more people. Let's see here. I think I potted that down, but apparently not enough. Yes, hi, from the 516 area code. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Trump's going to put his Jewish family back into office.
Okay, thank you for calling. Would you try to continue? Just try. I mean, try. I know it's hard for you, but try to be persistent and consistent and give us a single telephone number so that you don't have to make a complete fool of yourself every time you want to call. You think you can do that?
It's pretty nice when you got free speech.
I have free speech, and you have free speech also, but I don't feel like I need to bother. Anyways, I'll let him talk. I've potted him down. He can talk all he wants. He does have free speech, but he seems to just want to make a you-know-what of himself on this show every time. Actually, just let me drop the call. I'm tired of him. Anyways, he likes to bother my show every week. Let's see here. I've noticed, I'm not the only host that gets bothered, by the way, by all these callers. So there, I've taken that. Okay, we are down to, it should be okay. Anyways, the point I want to make, guys, is that you have a huge number of people out there that are certainly like yesterday at his rally. He had a venue of 15,000 people, and 140,000 were lined up to go see him. The point here is there's no point at this stage of the political game in alienating people that you don't need to alienate. We're aware of the problem. To us, the problem has always been the Jewish power structure in America. That's not going to go away. We are going to be dealing in the second hour about some of this Jewish power structure and how it operates and assists itself, mainly through the use of Zionism inside of America. We're going to address some of these issues in hour number two. Now, the point here is it's not necessarily productive tactically to try to alienate bases that are basically still your allies. There needs to be a little bit of give and pull at times. Does that mean we back off the Jewish angle? Of course not. We're never going to back off that because the real enemy of the American people remain, as far as I can tell, the Jewish people themselves. Now, they will argue with this, and in our Western point of view, they have every right to do that. Now, in their Talmudic Jewish point of view, we don't have any rights. So therefore, we're going to take the moral high ground here, consider them the Talmudic tyrants, and consider them the enemies of the American way, because the American way is all about free speech. We must be focused on free flow of ideas within our democratic process or our Republican process, but it is a democratic process equally. We must be focused on this one key issue. People around the world are pulling for the American people to win. They understand what it is like now to live under this Talmudic liberal or neoliberal tyranny that is everywhere, especially now within Europe, as you saw what happened now in New Zealand, in Australia, Canada for sure is pretty much gone, in the UK. People are pulling on us as American people to win. And if you actually don't agree with me and you think I'm crazy, okay, you've got my number, guys. You can call me from anywhere around the world. It's fairly cheap to call America, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Now, my point here is that if we can get And it looks like we're getting a purge of some really nasty people from this deep state operation. This takes out one enemy that is an enemy to all of us, quite frankly. I'm talking about this deep state Obama communist abomination that was put in there, and it's been being put in there for probably over 100 years. If we can disrupt some of that, and we can't disrupt a lot of it, because let's be honest, until you take on the CIA and their drug dealing, and people say to me, Dennis, the FBI rank and file, they're all just good, hardworking people. I don't buy it. I don't buy it, because they should be sabotaging their leadership then at every step of the way if they are true patriots. They should not be going out after American citizens in some of the most egregiously disgusting ways because, oh, they're white nationalists. No, that's not how it works. You can't tell me these are professionals if that's their attitude. This is a European nation still. It still has that majority. You know what I've found? When I go look into some of the protests or the anti-Trump, I'm not talking about from the alternative media. That's a separate issue, and they've got their reasons why, and that's fine. But when I look into this anti-Western agenda, what I find are people of color. I find Jewish people. Okay, these are the two main ones, quite frankly, people of color and Jewish people. And I find largely a 20-something crowd. 20 to maybe lower 30, but a 20-something crowd. These clowns who don't have an ounce of life experience, who have no capability probably to do anything productive with their lives. I'm talking about make something, contribute to the growth of something. I've noticed that they're sitting there with all this, who knows where their money's coming from, in their various cubicles, churning out report after report after report about how all of us, all the white guys out there are so extremists. They're all so extremists. Heck, it's so bad for white people in America today that it just came out a report saying that something like men, 19 to 29, something like 25 to 27% of men, 19 to 25 to 29, aren't even having sex anymore. Now, some respects, I can't blame them. It's so risky, quite frankly, with some of the nutcase females we have out there. And it is a high financial risk, quite frankly, with the way the courts and the society is built. And it's something that has to be addressed. You know, procreation is an absolute necessity for Western civilization. And we are at a disadvantage right now with the way the courts are rigged. But the bottom line here is that I see all of these leftist people of color, Jewish people, churning out this garbage. And since when do we as the American people have to listen and be told by a bunch of knucklehead 20-something morons what is acceptable to say on the web, what is acceptable for us to live our lives, you know, how we associate, etc., what is acceptable to promote within our own communities? Since when do these 20-something thug punk morons have this authority? And yet they're being cited by the Washington Post. They're being cited by Facebook. They're being cited by all these mainstream Jewish media. And somehow the attack on whites just continue and continue and continue. Just let me get into this quick story. You know, there's a serious issue in America. If you're not following America too much, we've had some very serious flooding in the United States. And it is already having an effect, from what I hear, on the shopping list, on your shopping budgets. We've had something like 1 million acres. And for those who don't know, an acre is 405,000 hectares of U.S. farmland have actually been flooded now. And so you've got farms from the Dakotas to Missouri and beyond. They've been now underwater for a week or more, and there are thousands of acres that won't be able to even be planted. If we had straight sunshine from May, from now until May or June, maybe some of this could get done. But, you know, of course, with further rains coming in, it's going to be even worse. Now, spring floods could yet impact an even bigger area of this cropland. So the U.S. government's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is warned of what could be
really what is now an unprecedented flood season in the United States. And rivers may actually swell further as we have the various deep snowpacks in the north begin to melt. So this cyclone, bomb cyclone, as they call it, that hit this past March, has absolutely been disastrous for quite a few people out there in the farm belt. And it has also caused some lowering of exports. Plus, you know, you add that into the U.S.-China trade war, and we have a lot of problems now with our agricultural community. Now, the corn in America, corn's a huge crop. It for crop insurance, Iowa farmers must plant the corn by May the 31st and soybeans by June 15th. So if they can't get anything planted by those days, they will not actually be able to apply for any type of crop insurance. You have 84,000 acres of pasture land in the U.S. and Midwest have been flooded. So all in all, when you start to look at all of these various, let's see how I do that. Yeah, let me do that one. There we go. So yeah, when we look at all of these factors, you know, the flooding, et cetera, you know, the corn looks like it could be a problem. Now, Iowa has been the top U.S. corn producing state and the number two soy producing state. It's actually got the most water. So covering 474,000 acres, followed by Missouri with 203,000 acres. There's a satellite company called Grow Intelligence. It uses satellite data from NASA. They are showing here that, well, that's that they're actually the ones just compiling this report. It's probably the better way to put that. Now, in Missouri, floodwaters have covered again over 200,000 acres. In Wisconsin, more than 1,000 dairy and beef animals were lost during the winter storms, and 480 agricultural structures were damaged or collapsed. In the Dakotas and Minnesota, melting snow has caused quite a bit of damage equally. Obvious, I guess, as we can all imagine here. Where's the story there? And let's see. It says the wheat planting is there. That's where wheat's going to be going. So the wheat planting now is at risk. So we have a huge risk going on right now inside of our farm belt. And that, of course, is forward-looking but could cause many problems on into next year. It's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware. We're going to go ahead and shoot over to, I think, it looked like 406 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Okay, now I'm on.
Yeah, now you're on.
Okay. Okay. Hi, my name is Keith. I'm over here in Montana. I run a show over on RBN.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I've been heckled by one of your listeners there to call into the show here, so I thought I would here, but you know, I wanted to make a comment about two things.
Sure.
One is Donald Trump's proposal of shutting down the border.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, most of the items in our grocery store here are all marked products of Mexico, and with the announced flooding all through Nebraska and such, as well as them saying that it's going to be at least 100 days to dry out before they can even get their crops in the ground, so many will not even get their crops probably planted this year, as well as the grain that was spoiled from last year's harvest. But I would be pissing off my neighbors to the south right now. The other thing is I don't think many Americans realize what's really going on around the world here. And this would include the Israelis arming the neo-Nazis over the Ukraine. And you can think of that for a minute, that the Jews are arming the Nazis. However, with this immigration thing, we have the video on YouTube where the Zionist Jews admit that mass immigration is number one on their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
The trucks from Honduras and stuff that have the Zionist stars
Correct.
On it. The other fact that Israel lawyers, these are headlines, by the way. Israel lawyer demands Israel halts on arms sales to Honduras, Times of Israel. Rights groups demand that Israel stop arming the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. The defense minister, Israel, has doubled arms sales to Africa in 2013. And, of course, the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is usually where they call for a U.S. intervention, sending U.S. boys over in these humanitarian missions to be killed by those same Israeli arms.
But you know, I didn't even think of that, but you have a good point there. If we're going up against Israeli arms, that would really piss me off.
Well, yeah, well, and this goes on. Like over there, amid the genocide allegations, Israel's mum on halting arms sales to Myanmar. If you watched on Twitter and like that, them setting those tires on fire and those young boys and watching them burn to death. This is why Trump and his administration, through Secretary Pompeo, has threatened to arrest ICC court judges, not only for Afghanistan, but what Israel's doing, and then has pulled the visas of the ICC court judges so they can't travel.
Yeah.
And now with the over in India, with India and others over there that are actually killing Christians now, Israel's arms to India tops $900 million a year.
That's correct.
These are all, you know, I only cite Israeli papers, so that can't be claimed to be anti-Semitic, you know.
Sure, sure.
And then the Military Times article about how Israel passes U.S. military technology onto China.
Correct. Full on. The J-20 fighter is basically an F-16 copy. You know, basically, the Israelis gave our F-16 technology to the Chinese.
Yeah, as well as Bill Clinton did, and so did Hillary. Mm-hmm. You know, the issue that most people don't realize is like this new One Belt Road, I guess they call it. Israel is spearheading this with China, whose ZTE Technologies is basically, the military branch there. They're the ones that are behind this, and also behind the social credit thing.
That's atrocious, by the way. Yeah, that's atrocious.
But there's a good clause of that, though. This proves, though, because remember that Venezuela's elections are also through that social credit, basically real ID, to where in Venezuela you couldn't even vote without one of those cards. So there's no vote rigging, and that's why that weirdo down there in Florida, there, Marco Rubio, and those guys are so adamant about this interim president, this Guaido, or you want to call him like that, you know?
Yeah, it's Keith, right? Yeah, Keith, that Guaido guy, that's absurd. Yeah, I'm just declaring myself president. Hi, everybody. It's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen on the global scene. It's like, hello.
Yeah, but what gets me, though, this is the same thing. Like the Military Times article that openly admitted that the Pentagon in some way had lost $700 million of arms sales to Afghanistan. And, of course, the U.S. soldiers are there dying from these same arms that are being passed around. One great article, or actually video, on YouTube to watch is ISIL Target Russia. And in that video, they openly admit to this Al Jazeera reporter that ISIL and the Taliban have joined forces. And so when you hear the U.S. government talking about this new peace deal with the Taliban, it's all a hoax. Because remember, Joe Biden said that the Taliban are not an enemy of the U.S., and also the White House confirmed that statement. So, again, we're looking today at the Indochina opium wars. Why NATO moved down to Colombia? I mean, you know, you're getting down there, you know. Why North Korea is on the map? Because it's the world's second largest opium producer. And, of course, this is all to destabilize the local economies. James Corbett came out with that Trojan horse video, which showed how all these USAID and other organizations operate, how they went down into Venezuela, down into Cuba. They infiltrate the hip-hop thing, trying to destroy the culture, the sexual depravity of the nation, just like they're doing here. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when we look at what Donald Trump is doing, now he wants to legalize or decriminalize homosexuality worldwide. You can look that up. Even the LGBT community is kind of pissed off at that. But, of course, to me, that's just to protect all these elites from Hollywood and stuff from prosecution.
I would actually agree with that. Normally, when they do these types of gambits, it's to protect somebody that's already been guilty of something for quite some time. So
yeah, if it isn't the Catholic Church, it's the Parliament in the UK and stuff. I mean, and then they keep lowering the age of consent. Canada wanted to lower their age of anal sex down to 16. I mean, we're looking at modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's ran through two major countries, you know, Israel and the United States, you know.
Yes.
And this is what gets me is, when you have a U.S. general come out there and say that American military should be prepared to die for Israel, well, in all the Israeli papers, they openly admit that Israel is the least religious nation in the entire world. Most of them are atheists.
Correct.
Only 30% prescribe to some type of religion.
Yeah, their religion is atheism. So, yeah, I guess we could just call their religion atheism.
Yeah.
That is their core belief.
And so how does one get to be a chosen one if you have no God?
You know, that's a great little question. That's a great philosophical hypothetical there, Keith. Haven't even thought of that one. How'd you get chosen if you don't believe in anything? Who chose you? It doesn't exist.
Yeah. You can watch that video online of Reagan signing in the Talmudic laws in the United States.
Yeah, we have that.
I mean, this is shocking to see what the undermining. You know, one good thing to if anyone has any time to browse the archives there is to listen to Bill Cooper, who was murdered, his 5-part series on what the ADL is. Mm. And that is an eye opener. And this goes clear back to the days of Lincoln and everything like that. This, Benai Beth, all this, you know. And I think that's why the censorship is getting so bad now. A friend of mine told me that he had received an article from his server, that his server had told him that they had received complaints from the major browser makers that they would no longer host his website through their browser. So they're going to start blocking websites through browsers now.
Yeah, these are issues that we absolutely have to fight and push back on. I mean, that's our internet. It's not for them to dictate and control our internet. It's the American people created it. And that's ours. It's not theirs. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm for scorched earth against these people. Literally scorched earth.
I don't advocate violence in any way, but...
Well, scorched earth is however you want to destroy them is okay for me. And that includes instruments of state to take them down and put them away for a very long time. And I don't care how they do it. Because these people are just as unethical as everybody else. So that's their rules.
Well, yeah, that's true. David Irvin explained that the best. He says, like, with the question of the Jews, it's not that they've been kicked out of 100-some-odd countries, but the question is why. And when you look how they've infiltrated the financial system, the government, the justice system, through their uses of the term lawfare, and this list goes on, and it's like, I have Jewish friends that are good friends. I've been in ham radio for 40 years.
Oh, really?
And
cool.
I talk to people all over the world. Cool. And my Jewish friends are scared about what Israel is doing because it's going to cause something against all of them.
Well, justifiably so in a way, because, you know, a lot of us are innocently attacked equally and blow back as an SOB, you know. With all, they have every right to speak up and do whatever they can to stop it equally. And usually when we're caught speaking up, many of them, not all of them, of course, but many of them are taking either a very passive, silent view or they're joining the anti-Semite train. And the anti-Semite train is a death wish because it's basically tyranny.
Well, there's a guy on Twitter that posted some video, some young Chinese kid get ran over in China. And he commented that, look, he says, this happens almost daily in China and no one even gets up to help the child. And I was like, well, that's a dumb statement there because we have millions of Americans that sit on their couches or on their tailgates at some stupid sports game, watching their government bomb the hell out of millions of people under the auspices of some lie, whether it's weapons of mass destruction, whatever, you know.
Yeah, yellow cake.
And they do nothing, you know, they only wonder when terrorism happens or something. Of course, a lot of this terrorism, like the Guardian article where the FBI is behind all domestic terrorism, they're using your tax dollars. And, of course, this is to ferment this Arab-Muslim hate so that it justifies the U.S. going into some foreign country, which just happens to have oil, you know.
Yeah, and, of course, talked about this as Jewish eschatology. They can't get their Moshiach and Savior, Messiah, to come back until basically the Christian world fights the Islamic world. So they got to try to bring this about any way possible because it's part of their prophecies, you see.
Well, that's another issue when you look at that, because behind all this, whether it's George Soros or what with the immigration with the Israelis open admitting that they're, you know, that it's number one on their agenda. This is used to promote fear towards the Jews, and I can prove this throughout Israel's media, to where they openly call for, like, the rabbis to move out of Europe because Israel, to, like, Europe is too dangerous for the Jews, mm-hmm. and openly supporting the Nazis up there in Ukraine. It was to cause a quote-unquote anti-Semitism to get the Russian Jews to move to Israel. And this is the calling home, as well as the rabbis that keep repeatedly saying that the arrival of the Messiah is imminent. And of course, you have those like these radicalized Christians, like Secretary Pompeo and those, that believe all this stuff and are right on board with what Israel's doing. And like Donald Trump, regardless how long he's been in office, he really hasn't done anything for this country, but he sure has done it for Israel.
This is the glaring thing. Some of his domestic issues have been helpful, but for sure, he's given Israel way too much. Keith, let me wrap it. Feel free to call back again. We got another caller on the line. We want to keep the show moving. So thanks.
Okay, yeah, no
thanks
problem.
So much let for calling. You, okay? Appreciate the call from a friendly competitor out there. Frank is calling.
Not a competitor.
Yeah, there you go. Frank, hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Well, hello, Dennis.
Oh, wow. I'm actually able to add two calls in. That is so cool. Okay, hi, Frank. Hello.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear about your numbers. I know Farron over on RBN has been plugging your show some. I don't know if that's had any effect.
Well,
now, he's had some problems. He's had issues over there where some of his shows have been repeats of late. So you might have gotten plugged multiple times. I don't know if that's healthy at all.
Well, no, I think it's really a case of just good product, and we're putting more energy into it. You know, the website and such takes personal effort. You know, you got to write articles, get the articles spread around and stuff like that. So we've been making a much more concerted effort to get the articles up, but then the articles are getting spread, and that's what drives the web traffic, to be honest with you. But the listeners are still healthy, from what I understand. We have seen an uptick of the numbers listening also. It cratered back through the summer, and now we've climbed. We've got about a 50% increase, 30% increase since the start of the year. So we're very happy with so far the direction things are going, for sure.
Okay, that's interesting. But still, you don't have any more callers. I mean, that was an anomaly right there. You got
sure. I mean, it takes. In. It's okay. You know, people tell me they're afraid to call. They don't want to interrupt me, Frank. So what can I do? You know.
Well, I know. I mean, that's true. But I would like to hear from some of them from time to time.
Sure, me too.
It's just interesting to hear who else is out there, because we are so isolated. I mean, I don't know anybody out here locally that's to my level or even could ever be to my level of understanding. And your understanding is probably, you know, a good bit beyond mine. So it's just interesting to hear other people out there that are kind of in the same arena as we are. But, you know, this thing about having Jewish friends, and this thing about Zionism, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of us know that, you know, the difference between a Zionist Jew and a good Jew, or a non-Zionist Jew, or an anti-Zionist Jew. You know, the thing is, they're just not the crazy. You got the crazy radical Jews who are just in your face. You know, world domination. We're going to kill everybody, and we're going to kill the Palestinians because they're not human. They're animals. Whatever. And then you got the ones that are like, oh God, you know, what if this backfires on us? What if somebody ever gets
gets wind of what we're doing, gets
the better of us? You know, what if the roles are ever changed? You know, they're going to make us pay dearly for this.
And
but it doesn't change the fact, the ultimate, what's on the inside. They still all benefit from Jews running everything. And that's one thing they all agree on. That you don't ever see any Jews out there protesting, okay? And we know about Jews and how they protest and how organized they are. You don't ever see any Jews out there protesting that the mainstream media in America is controlled almost solely by Jews. You don't ever see. They all agree that Jews need to control all media, okay? That's one thing they all agree on. They agree on a whole lot of other things as well. So I don't buy into this thing. This Zionist and Anna. I don't care what they are, because guess what? You know, you have a lot of them that are more principled. You know, you got some Jews that's, you know, you got a very small minority of Jews that speak out on the behalf of the rights of Palestinians and whatnot, better treatment for Palestinians. But typically, those same Jews are right in line with the Zionist Jews. They want to tear down the borders of Western nations, European nations, white nations. They want to tear down the sovereignty of America. They can all agree on that, right? The Zionist Jews and the good Jews. They all, I mean, what do those more leftist liberal Jews want? They want to tear down America. They want to put trannies in charge of the military and all this. They want to tear down the borders. They want to bring in as many non-whites into America as possible. So why are we even arguing like there's some good Jews? And what I've always been saying is, in order for anything to change, it first has to become very unpopular to be Jewish. And I know that doesn't sound nice, and it's not.
Well, this is actually a tact I am going to be taking. I agree with what you're saying in this regard. We have to make it very painful, culturally, socially, for Jews to come out being Jewish and to push their agenda. I'm going to support you on that. Go ahead.
You got all these guys out there who want to be friends with the Jews, and they want to tell everybody. I've got people that are like, supposedly white nationalists, but they want to tell everybody, well, yeah, most all my friends are Jewish. And I'm like, well, you're part of the problem, man. You're making it too comfortable for the enemy. Why should they change?
Well, this is an issue, again, we are going to be addressing over the next quarter or so. We're going to shift a little bit of our editorial framing to highlight some of the crimes that Jews are committing against us in just very passive-aggressive ways, but have absolutely damaging effects upon us as a greater culture. So those Jews involved in these behaviors and activities, we are going to encourage their isolation. There is no reason why a Jew should be able to yell anti-Semite in the theater and get away with it anymore, because they're using this too much.
Well, I know you really are busy. I hope you got a chance to listen to my call to Alex Jones a couple.
I did, actually. Because, I did,
you know,
listen
again,
to
I,
it.
I thought great. It was. I mean, you know, the one thing, though, I always stick to my guns. He always seems to think he can win me over. He can convert me.
No, I thought you had a great show with him. I thought that he gave you a good amount of time, and I thought you held your ground. And quite frankly, he felt to me he appeared a little defeated. He didn't. In other words, when he came out, he didn't feel what he didn't believe what he was saying anyway. In other words, he knew he was kind of full of it. And he's trying to just hold the party line, but his heart wasn't in it. So I thought you had a great show on that particular play.
So, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to it.
All right.
Well, anyway, keep up the great work. I know there's a lot of people out there listening, and I'm in contact with some of them. So. Anyway,
thanks.
We enjoy it.
Thanks,
it
guys. Thanks for all the support, everybody. Vera, up in Canada, hi. Welcome to Inside the AI Live. Vera apparently has jumped off. You know what we normally do, guys? We have the cat report. I'm going to just get the cat report in real quick. The cat report, the ISO cat report, is probably again sponsored by North Cackalacky Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. Again, it's inconveniently located at the corner Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, you can catch Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And for more information, be sure to visit BlackburnNineTradingPost.org. That's BlackburnNineTradingPost.org for all the listen-in live and chat links. And the cat report is a bit down and depressing at this stage. We have had a situation where One Eye, my favorite buddy, is now officially missing in action. We have not heard from him, seen him, or anything for 4 days now, and that's a little bit long for him. He'll be out 2 days or so, maybe three, but we are now into our fourth day, so we are looking a bit concerned now. We know he's a smart cat. We know he's a pretty, he's very smart. He's strong. He was healthy when he left, but we have not heard from him at all. He's not been around. We had a situation last night where we went out looking for him over in Jordan. Spiker also was missing. He came back this morning absolutely filthy. The girls seem to suspect that Spiker knows where he's at, and Bruiser keeps crying every night because he's tired of being alone. So it's been a little bit sad and depressing with the cats lately. And unfortunately, we're into a break now, but that is the ITIL Cat Report. Again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. Be sure to visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. And we'll be back right after this. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, it's Saturday, March the 30th, 2019. Good Saturday morning, everybody, to you listening in the United States and Canada. Of course, here it's now just getting into the evening, 6:03 in the afternoon here locally, early evening. Joining us now from Canada, hi, Vera. Welcome back to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Fetch. Hey, guess what? The latest.
Yes, what's up?
Alex Jones has now been on the news, and he says, you know, it was all delusional, this 2012 stuff, you know, about Sandy Hook, and he was just delusional. So that's his out.
He's trying to backtrack rapidly.
It was
now,
a psychosis. That's how he put it. I had a psychosis.
Well, you know what? There's something known as the jester's defense. I'm not sure how legitimate this is. But one of the things from the old days was it was known as the jester's defense. And basically your response is, I'm an idiot. So to whatever the prosecutors say to you, you just say, well, I'm an idiot. And whatever they say to you again, just respond.
Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot.
And it's known as the jester's defense. And there's no way anybody can break through the jester's defense. Because you just keep saying, although it may be embarrassing to you, you just go to the court and say, well, I'm an idiot. And I guess there are protections against the fact that you're an idiot, so they can't prosecute you. So you just pull the jester's defense and because you're an idiot. And so maybe that's what Jones is going to try to do here now is play a little jester's defense and say, well, I'm just an idiot. And maybe that's what's going to happen.
Well, maybe it'll protect him. But I still do think, like I said before, that he's kind of controlled opposition.
Well, it's not just that he's controlled.
He came out with a lot of truth.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just that he's controlled, though. He's compromised. They're after him.
He's compromised, but I think he's a little more than compromised, you know, like that he was used is what I mean. You know, like just to actually get even other people kind of convinced with some of his stuff, because some of his stuff was maybe true, but you know, some of it made us look like idiots if we all got dressed up. Remember when he did the Joker thing for
No.
What's his name?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, I do.
I don't follow him, so I don't know.
Okay, well, I did, and that was like when the black guy got in, you know, the one that's married to Michael, our president, president, you know, the black
guy. Don't be disloyal to the Americans. It's your president also. You have a prime minister, but you also have our president, okay? Don't you Canadians try to get uppity on us Americans, okay?
He's still ours. He's still ours. And I had dreams when Bush was in power. I literally had dreams of Bush because I'm thinking this somehow there's a spirit in there. I saw a tender side in there, but I'm thinking this guy's nuts. How can he say, you know, that if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists and then, you know, all this stuff. So I was literally having dreams about the man, you know, to kind of get it over in my head. It was like, it was very strange. So he has some humanity, but I don't think he's got much. No, I'm talking about Bush now.
Yeah, that whole family seems a bit whack to me, but I don't know them personally, so I can't really comment. But they seem a bit whack.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
You know, Barbara Bush.
Well, another thing.
Yeah.
I got a phone call from someone out in Creston, and he says, guess what? He explained who he was, and he says, well, guess how I found out that Larry had passed away? I said, how? He says, by listening to The Fetch. That's
you know, it's amazing. I'm hearing I actually am hearing more and more stories like this, which is kind of cool in a way. People are saying, no, I heard about it because, yeah, from the feds. It's like, wow, we are having an effect apparently. So we have our pockets Absolutely. Of listeners. I mean, who would have thought Salman Arm would be a bastion of Inside the Eye Live? But it is.
It is.
You know what I mean?
What's
it
the
is.
The other guy that made that comment.
Martin. You got Martin. Market. We're kind of listened to up in Ireland. We're listened to in Denmark, for sure in Sweden. 100% in Sweden. Yeah. We've seen Russia recently. Usage from Russia has probably gone up. I can't give you a percentage, but Russia is now, this past month, the number five market for us. Australia, of course, is always there. Canada, the United States, Great Britain, Sweden. Yeah. And then now Russia is all of a sudden some people from Russia. So anyways, we're just kind of happy this year or this so far this month.
I think the Russians are smart. They're not dumb people out there. And I did want to make one statement.
Sure.
This is what we thought, for a while, that Justin is Justin. Putin was just put in. And then Trump, he trumps them all. So, like the words, I wonder if they, kind of change the names.
You know, that is kind of like an Isisian code stuff. That gets pretty heavy there, but Justin and put in. And then Trump. Yeah, I've even thought about the Trump angle, the one name that can trump it all would be a Trump. And we just have to see. You know, Americans, I don't know about you guys up in Canada, but for a lot of us Americans, we want to see some scorched earth now. Look, you've had 2 years of fighting this Russian collusion thing. Politically, perhaps you couldn't respond because it would have looked bad while an investigation is ongoing. It is now over.
Yeah.
We want to see Nelly Orr arrested. We want to see Linda Page arrested. We want to see literally this entire cell network gutted and tried. And in severe cases of coup d'etat and treason, I don't care if they hang. I think I'm not a capital punishment guy. But unfortunately, we are in a situation now where some serious messages need to be sent. And for now, it's a case where these people believe they can just do whatever they want and get away with literal murder. And it goes all the way down into the leftist wing, Vera, with the social justice warriors declaring you're racist. And then they think they can just walk away and they know the damage they're causing. They just walk away as if nothing happened, or the calling people anti-Semites, you know, and they just walk away and leave you to pick up the baggage. It's like this type of behavior is a form of violence. Now it's being used to harm people, and we're not going out.
My girlfriend did that with me. She says, you are the most blah, blah, blah. Anti-Semitic, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, are you paying attention, girl? But she had Jewish friends, and I'm just thinking, you paying attention? You know, and then I mentioned about the other one, because she was complaining about all the people coming in. Of course, this is years ago, so there's lots more in there now. But, and I says, well, look no further than your friendly neighborhood Jew, you know. And then she looked up, what's her name, out of, Barbara Lerner Spector. And then she says, oh, she's just some dumb broad. I'm thinking, yeah, some dumb broad, all right.
Some dumb she's broad pushing that's agenda. Pushing the entire agenda, why you have so much. And people up in Canada, I'm getting calls from all over privately even, complaining about this invasion of Canada is absolutely out of hand. I mean, even if you go into the far northern reaches of Canada, you just can't escape multiculturalism anymore. There's no place where a person of European heritage can just enjoy being within European heritage. Everywhere you go, you're going to have to deal with an Arabic, Afghani, Mexican, whatever. Yeah. You don't have the chance even to just appreciate your own culture. It's being imposed on you. And these people coming in, they're grateful, of course. They get free money, free food, free housing.
But then they want to take over that area.
Yes.
And then you have to abide by their wishes. They want special places where, like even the kids in the school, that they get to wash their feet. And, of course, the boys can't be with the girls. Heaven forbid. You know.
Yeah, and this is not for our cultures. I mean,
get real.
Yes, I know that. I'm aware of that. Seriously, I live here. I'm aware of that side of it, and it's not going to go away.
Yeah, well, you're
soon.
There. That's different. Yes.
No, of course,
that's
nobody's
complaining.
No, it's
so
it's their
you
country.
Come to another country. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying you're right. It's their country. I don't. You know, it's what it is. It is what it is. You know, but for our countries, there should be zero tolerance of this behavior by these people. And if they cannot assimilate and show this preponderance of action, just revoke their stay and ship them out. That's what happens here. If you don't abide by the cultural norms here, they basically take you, say thank you very much for coming, but your plane's standing by. We'll catch you in 5 years. You're banned for 5 years from coming back.
Yeah. That other actor, the good-looking actor, I'm trying to think of his name, he's upset with Prince of Brunei because the Prince of Brunei is he's against the LGBTQ. So he says we should boycott whatever hotels or something.
Yeah, I saw that story. I don't know the name, but he's kind of an A-plus guy. It's like, dude, you need to just mind your own business.
Really?
Yeah, I did see that story. I don't know which actor it was, but I did see the story. And then they're calling for an outright boycott of Brunei. And it's like, you know what? I'm like, good. You guys are such classless flakes. Nobody wants you in your countries anyway, so don't come.
Anyways,
let's keep it moving.
That's about it. And,
thank you.
I really enjoyed the show last time. I wanted to call back again because I even had comments to say to him, but he talked so much and he had so much information.
You're talking about Thursday night inside the iLive primetime.
Yeah,
with Ola Domegard. Yeah, that's Thursday.
Remember, because the first 10, 15 minutes that I talked, you didn't get nothing.
Everyone's saying.
We heard each other.
Yeah, you know what they said. You know what they said, Dennis.
What?
Just mute the mic. It's Vera. I said, come on, you guys.
Well, mute the mic. It's Vera. Smart ass.
Yeah, they're just like, mute the mic. No, I didn't know.
Coming their way.
I don't know how the heck it got muted, but yeah, it was muted.
Weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's weird.
It was kind of a strange night. I mean, watching Ola Domegard speak, and I saw, because I have VU meters, and it literally just went potted down. I'm like, I'm watching it go down. I'm like, now that's bizarre. Anyways, thanks so much, Vera.
Okay,
we got
so
a lot.
Let you go.
Thank you much. Thanks
nice
for calling.
Chat with you.
Equally.
And I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, everybody.
Take care, Fetch.
Thanks.
Hey, I hope you find the other cat.
I do, too. I'm kind of sad.
I really hope you find the other
doing
cat.
Doing my show, and I'm kind of sad. But yeah, I hope he comes home. Anyways, talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks much.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That's Vera calling from up in Canada, Salmonarm, where actually Inside the Eye Live is kind of a bastion show up there. We've got a foothold in Salmonarm. I'm going to have to go visit Salmonarm just to see what the heck Salmonarm is. I like the name. I like salmon, you know. So I like smoked salmon, everybody. Actually, I love smoked salmon. Smoked salmon is kind of like a brilliant food. I love that thing. And no, I don't need it on lox. Let's see here. What time is it? 6:15. I think we can do something here. 6:15 again. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution.Radio. We are the largest listener-sponsored and supported radio network. It does really rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. So whatever you can do to keep the platform up, that is always appreciated. And again, keep us in your thoughts when you are donating to your causes. We do not have the millions upon tens of millions upon maybe hundreds of millions that the Jewish community throws into their causes. But just remember, every little donation, every little bit of sponsorship helps. And without you, it really does take away from the fun of doing this type of stuff. So do what you can, folks, to keep us going strong. Let's see. Try that again, everybody. You know, I think I got this like really great segue set up, and then I forget the pot things. But here we go.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Oy vey.
How
do
you run
budget?
It don't budget. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on buoyant tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
Oy vey!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy vey moment is, I don't know where to even go with this. I got one from Sweden, one from New York, and one from Boston. And I don't know which one to use. I'm going to go, I think, right now to Boston. Let's do the Boston story. There is a 469-page legal complaint. It is known as Dechter et al. Versus Newton School Committee et al. It was submitted by several, several Newton residents. Reportedly details the history of residents in addressing and correcting bias in the curriculum when it comes to the Arab-Israeli conflict. Now, let's kind of get through this story here. Several residents of the Boston suburb of Newton, Massachusetts, have filed a lawsuit in a local superior court over what they allege is bias in the school district's teaching of the Arab-Israeli conflict in the public school system. The 469-page legal complaint, I could go read it if I wanted, submitted by these students. They are represented by attorney Karen Hurwitz. That's a great Chinese name. Purportedly details the history of residents attempting to address and correct this bias. Now, can you imagine? You're getting sued because you're basically putting forward your own view of history. Isn't that amazing? And then they're calling that view of history anti-Semitism. For me, guys, I swear, this level of in-your-face chutzpah and arrogance by the Jewish people has become completely intolerable. Seriously, intolerable. First, the lawsuit should be thrown out. We need judges that just throw this stuff out. Then we need to be able to countersue these people and just destroy them. Seriously, there needs to be some type of long-term strategy campaign that simply throws light on this effort by Jews to use their lawfare against we the people in order for them to obviously continue to push their BS crap agenda. Now, the plaintiffs claim that Newton public schools are deliberately failing and refusing to comply with the Equal Rights Amendment of the Massachusetts Constitution and the Massachusetts Student Anti-Discrimination Act, with the civil rights regulations that require schools through their curricula to encourage respect for the human and civil rights of the individuals, regardless of race, identity, religion, color, sex. Well, first of all, there is nothing, quite frankly, about raising issues about the Israeli conflict that violates any of this stuff. I swear, I cannot stand this level of disgusting chutzpah by the Jewish community. What they're saying here is that the plaintiffs and their attorneys, let me skip that part. Here it is. That the Jews took it. Here's what they're complaining about. And they're complaining about the truth. And Jews, this should be thrown out of court, quite frankly. I swear, it just should be thrown out. And then the Jews sued for wasting our tax dollars. That's what really should happen. So Newton teachers taught that Jews and Christians deliberately forged their holy text to contradict the Muslim Quran. That Zionism, I don't even know why somebody would put that in the curriculum. Anyways, that's kind of stupid. That Zionism has little connection to Jewish history in Palestine. That the Jews took advantage of the Holocaust to gain sympathy for Zionism at the expense of Arab plight, and that the Israelis treat the Palestinians like the Nazis treated the Jews. Okay, well, I'll say, look,
I'm not going to go to court over the first one. It's just, first of all, take the religion out of it. Get rid of it. That's very simple. But yes, Jews did use the Holocaust as sympathy. Nobody's doubting that. Everybody knows it. So again, this should be thrown out, and they should be countersued for wasting our time. And that the Israelis treat the Palestinians like the Germans treated the Jews? No, not even close. It's far worse. At least the Germans treated the Jews with some humanity. The Israelis treat nobody with humanity. Nobody. The Israelis are a Talmudic, sadistic society, everybody. It is a disgusting creation on this planet. No doubt. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. Call up your local Israeli consulate. Try to get a visa. First of all, your entire social media is going to be screened before you ever land. Your embassy, no matter which embassy it is, but I guarantee you, our U.S. embassy will do nothing to protect your rights there. In fact, they will basically sometimes collaborate with the Jewish government there. And you will be able to witness, quite frankly, one of the most sadistic cultures ever unleashed upon humanity. And it's not the most. Certainly the most would probably, we'd have to count Jewish Bolshevism would be some of the most sadistic ever created. The Germans by far were some of the most civilized going in all of World War II. That's the truth of the matter. They were far more civilized than everybody else. What the Americans did to the Germans is absolutely unconscionable, quite frankly, what we as Americans. What the British did equally is unconscionable. What the Russians did is beyond civilized. This is one of the most barbaric cultures ever unleashed upon humanity, especially in the modern times. You know, I keep reading stories, by the way, out there from all these hacks at all these various newspapers. And it's like, this person had ties to the Nazis and they're very famous and they have money now and they should be destroyed. Listen, when these mainstream publications start talking about how every Jew out there that has money has links to Jewish Bolshevism, and how every Jew should be denuded of their income, denuded of their livelihood, denuded of their pride, denuded of literally every aspect of their self-esteem, then I'm going to say we're getting some progress here. Because I don't ever see that. I don't ever hear a mainstream publication talking about how not a single perpetrator of the Bolshevik Holocaust against Russians has been brought to justice. I've never read that. Now, the good thing is that when you go into the comments, people are actually talking about this. People get it. So we must continue to raise awareness and issue about this, because it is making headlines out there and it does get spread about. Listen, I don't care that the people behind Krispy Kreme had ties to the Nazis. Well, look, everybody had ties. You know, Jews have, as far as we're concerned, most Jews probably have ties to Bolshevism. Most Jews have ties to communism. So consequently, most Jews have ties to treasonous elements. So again, if we're going to keep playing this game of Jews destroying everybody simply because Jews don't like their political view, what Jews are saying is that when the tide turns, we as a culture, as a nation, as a civilization equally have the right to destroy Jewish people inside our midst. That's the game they're putting forward. Again, I think they're crackhead morons, because they have risen to such tremendous wealth and peace and security within our midst, yet they won't even allow us our own culture anymore. They won't even allow us to speak our own language hardly. And for us, seriously, in the nationalist community, they can only be viewed as tyrants, petty little tyrants, petulant little tyrants. And again, I don't know what to say about it other than the fact that we see this behavior going on and on across the West. And it's going to come to a blowback, because tyranny always is faced down at some point. And we do not want to turn into Bolshevik Russia, where these people have free hand to do whatever they want. It's the Fetch, everybody, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is indeed the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. It's Saturday, March the 30th, 2019. Again, the last show of the quarter, so we're going to wrap up what's been a great quarter for us, and we want to thank everybody. Keith, the first caller, Keith, we should have got your show
We could have promoted just a little bit as a courtesy, professional courtesy, but I didn't get it. That was my mistake. I should have gotten it from you. So if you want to send us a message somehow and just let us know what you're doing, most welcome. So if you're still listening, Keith, absolutely feel free to give us a little message, and we'll see what we can to do to get a little bit of information about your show. We're all about helping everybody, and that's mainly helping everybody that's positive here in the network for sure. Telephone lines are open, 1-323 now, 275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. So feel free if you'd like to get in on the show today. It's been kind of a strange show, thanks to Keith. He called in during the initial cat report. Again, the cat report's been sad. We have not seen one eye now for going into 4 days. So we're hoping he's okay. We know he's a very smart, strong guy. But 4 days is a long time to be out, so we are hoping that, again, he comes back soon. But nonetheless, Bruiser, he's around, but I would like to see when I come back for sure. Let's see. You know, we got protests going on around the world, and one of those protests that is not getting probably a lot of airplay in your part of the world, and it's kind of not getting a whole lot of airplay here either, by the way. And that is the protest going on in Algeria. Now, if you're not familiar with Algeria, it is, what is it, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia. I think it's west of Tunisia and east of Morocco. I hope I'm right on my geography here, but they've been going now for 6 straight weeks, and yesterday they returned to the streets to protest against President Abdelaziz Bouteflika remaining in his position as president. Now, this comes just days after the army proposed to operationalize Article 102 by declaring the position of the president vacant. So there have been millions of protesters streaming into Grand Post Square in the capital, Algiers, where they chanted slogans against the regime. So I know there's a lot of eyes, obviously, in the Arab world about this. So we will have to see what goes on with Algeria. Now, the General Secretary of the General Federation of Algerian Workers, Abdelmajid Sidi El Said, said one of the most loyal personalities to the Algerian president announced that he supports the army's proposal to end Bouteflika's term. So it sounds like Bouteflika, he may actually be on some of his last threads there, because even some of his allies are starting to abandon him. So we will have to see exactly how that goes. I mean, you saw this and again, you have to take this all with a grain of salt, because it could be just lies, fake news. But there was a Jordan Times, a JTA reporter, and she or he, not sure which, came to the United States into New York. And as you know, New York is a hotbed of Jewish extremism, a lot of intolerance there by the Jewish community. And this month, again, they arrived, and apparently it's Rabbi. How do you like that? And basically, he's complaining about how anti-Semitic New York was. I'm like, dude, he says, I'm quoting here, "I'm not sure you can properly gauge the state of anti-Semitism based on this one hobo," Eddie told me later. See, look, hobo, you're calling a homeless person in America a hobo, you racist little piece of, you know what? Oh, man, you got a lot of nerve to say that. So to be honest, a lot of Haredim walk around in that area, and I wonder if the guy harassed them. See, Jews are all about whining about anti-Semitism, and really it's gotten really quite out of hand, and it has to get to the stage, everybody, where people make Jews uncomfortable for them even trying it, because they're using it as a weapon. It's highly unfair. Really, it's highly unfair. Now, there's a place in New York. Actually, it's the regional director for New York and New Jersey for the defamation, you know, the Goyim defamation organization called the ADL. And the name's Alex Rosenberg. And Rosenberg is paid to field all these complaints from Jews. And there's been 23 complaints a week, not all of which actually become anti-Semitic. Oh, my goodness. And or racist incidents. Now, the ADL also works as you know, with the New York Police Department to tyrannize the people of New York if you're not pro-Semitic enough. That's pretty much a known fact now. So in the case of Brooklyn, which is essentially a Jewish-run town with a lot of poor black people running around, you know, Jews just don't seem to want to get along with everybody, and they want to blame it on the fact that they just can't get along with everybody. So late last year, the FBI reported that overall hate crimes increased by 17% in 2017, with hate crimes against Jews rising more than a third and accounting for 58% of all religious-based hate crimes. I think there's a total of 47, by the way, but they didn't want to tell you that. Overall, he said the relatively large number of anti-Semitic incidents in New York compared to other regions does stem from an increase in cases, but also reflects both an increased willingness to report these dastardly crimes of being called an anti-Semite or being an anti-Semite. However, neither the ADL nor the NYPD has been able to see one marked political or racial or ethnic or national tendency in any of these incidents. It's all sort of random, and it's probably due to the fact that Jews are just complete idiots, and people are responding to the fact that Jews are idiots, and they want to turn around and complain and cry and whine like schoolboys who just can't handle it without mommy taking care of them, the poor boys. Oh, we can't handle it. Anyways, that came out of Israel, but that's the type of reporting you get from the Israeli people. You know, everybody's an anti-Semite. Another story coming out of Sweden, just to show you how difficult it is in our Western lands as Jews impose their Talmudic tyranny over the rest of us. Rabbi Graham Cooper and Dr. Manfred Gerstenfeld were seen talking about how Sweden must confront modern day anti-Semitism. See, it's never enough, everybody. It's never enough for these people. So now Sweden has announced that there's going to be two new museums. Is it going to be about natural art and history? No, no way. Is it going to be about Viking culture and traditions? And no, not going to be about that. Are they going to make a museum about, oh, I don't know, 1800s Swedish cooking methods? No, not going to be about that. It's going to be about anti-Semitism. That's right. Going to be about anti-Semitism. And it's going to be in the city of Malmo, from what I understand. And one is going to address, once again, the Holocaust. The second will focus on the heroic Swedish diplomat. Oh, give us a break about heroic. It's full of crap, you guys. The diplomat Raoul Wallenberg, who quote-unquote saved tens of thousands of Jews in Budapest. You know, there's been so many Jews saved. Nobody died, you morons. I mean, you guys have kind of made that a fact. But see, here's the point. You know, if we're going to be sitting there allowing Jews to go into our pockets to create all of these museums at our expense, we absolutely should demand that Jews allow absolute transparency in history. That means a complete abandonment of every single law that protects Jews and historical research. You want to get your hands in our pockets all the time? We need to stop their ability to stop us from getting transparency on this issue. You had nothing to do with this event. I had nothing to do with this event. Heck, we were born 50 years after the event. Not me. Actually, I was born like 20 years after the event. 45, 55, 65, less than 20 years after the event for that matter. But anyway, I was born, you know, 15, 18, 20 years after the event. None of this has anything to do with me. None of this has anything to do with modern Swedish culture. None of it. Absolutely none. Yet here they want to build all of these quote unquote living museums, which are actually just part of their international death cult. And they want to again push Jewish supremacy from these particular venues. So quoting here, in confronting anti-Semitism, the museum should use the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition. Now, if we recall, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism basically says this. You have to give Jews a right to their own self-determination, and Jews do not have to give you a right to your own self-determination, which means that Jews get to rule over their lands and they get to rule over your lands. Furthermore, Jews may engage. This is really what that definition is. And this is not even hyperbole. Jews may engage in any amount of treason against the host nations that they wish to, and you are not allowed to tell anything about it, because if you do, you will be branded an anti-Semite, from which, again, all the ostracization process goes on. That's why I'm saying We really have to take away the ability of Jews to ostracize through this terminology. Any Jew using it, quite frankly, should be ostracized. Any Jew should be really ground into submission, because it is an attack. It is designed as an attack. And to think that people should not be allowed to defend themselves, and that's our people. We're not Jews. They're not going to come to my aid. Trust me, they're not going to come defend me no matter what happened. They're not going to do it. These guys are flakes. They only care about themselves. That's what they're all about. So for them to go ahead and use these weaponized anti-Semitic terms against people, again, for the express purpose of destroying people, this must be taken now into a new level of thinking as a direct hate speech against our culture and dealt with accordingly. And that means that if we view it as hate speech, we should be able to arrest these people, take away their houses, take away their income, and destroy them and watch them scream, folks. It will get nasty. It'll get beyond nasty. But I'll be honest, it needs to happen along these lines. They're complaining here that there should also be an exhibit that exposes the 260 Swedish volunteers who fought in the Waffen SS along with the Germans. It shouldn't be exposing them, everybody. It should be celebrating these people. Quite frankly, these are Swedish people. We should not be tolerating Jews coming into any given particular land and then making some bold chutzpah-filled declarations that they are superior to everybody and they're going to expose everybody on this issue. You got the Simon Wiesenthal. Simon Wiesenthal was known. All these guys are known to be frauds, and yet they play them up as if they're somebody. It's disgusting. A special major exhibit should focus on anti-Israeli hate. Why? It is our right. Look, you listen to the Jewish community, you flakes. If you want to shove this idea that you Jews deserve your own right to your own self-determination in your own lands, that's how it reads, then you must give us this same right. And if we want to say that the state of Israel is a disgusting cesspit of Talmudic tyrannical force, then we should have that right. After all, you have a right to call us whatever you want from your lands, and you even do it within our lands as if, you know, somehow people aren't noticing that you guys are really enemies of Western civilization. That's kind of how I'm viewing this now, the more I read this stuff. Saying here, this exhibit would showcase their attacks. I'm not sure which attacks they are, which single out Israel with hate mongering. Dudes, you guys are idiots. Israel is a disgust. Guys, it's disgusting. Just today, they just shot somebody in the head, killed the guy. Okay. So now there's all these protests and like Jews are like getting all around. Yeah. Yeah. We can go kill some more people, man. Yeah. Let's go do it. We're Jews, man. That's kind of how these people, that's not kind of, that's how they are. Now, I'll tell you what, you should really start to pay attention to the Israeli state equally and just start really just shove back a little bit. These guys are clowns. Finally, it says there is a painful anti-Semitic scandal that the internationally respected hospital of the Karolinska Institute near Stockholm, the SWC, lodged a complaint with the hospital CEO when it became known that open anti-Semitism by a prominent supervising physician was ignored by the hospital's management for a year. Well, again, we should not be allowing ourselves to be put into positions where Jews can unilaterally purge people within our own societies based on Jewish-only sentiments. This is tyranny. Do you realize that every time a Jewish person is going out of their way to purge somebody, that is an affront and assault on literally every single one of us, and it's happening in our faces day in and day out, time in and time out, and it absolutely never seems to end. At what time, quite frankly, do you guys feel that enough is going to be enough when it comes to Jews using this racial hatred slur against all of us in order to silence all of us so that they can continue to run roughshod over our rights to freedom of speech, our rights to our own self-determination, our rights to freedom of congregation, assembly, I guess is another way to call that. And there you have it. I'm just highlighting, I guess, another story of Israeli in-your-face insanity. I don't know if you've heard, last week, the Romanian government was supposed to host King Abdullah of Jordan. And this basically what happened was, as King Abdullah was getting set to go off to meet with the Romanians, the Romanian government, parts of the government decided to recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. And of course, Israel doesn't really exist. It's just basically an abomination without a border. Lots of walls everywhere, lots of tyranny everywhere, lots of psychopaths everywhere. But that hardly makes a nation. And it has the trappings of a nation for sure. But what happened is Jordan's King Abdullah II recently has come out, and this story just came out today, quite frankly, so it's new news. Speaking yesterday before or during the Lamp of Peace Award in Italy, King Abdullah said that nowhere is it more important to act than in safeguarding Jerusalem. Now, King Abdullah said that his country is working for a lasting resolution of the region's core conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli crisis, through a viable, independent, sovereign Palestinian state on the 1967 lines with East Jerusalem as its capital. I would agree with that. I am all for a 1967 because the 1967 war was a complete fraud by the Jewish people. The Jewish people attacked us Americans in that war when they attacked the USS Liberty. So I am all for forcing the Jews back to the 1967 lines. And that includes military force if necessary. I'm not for using military force, but when it comes to the state of Israel, I am all for using our military. They are an enemy of the American people, and no amount of hiding this fact is going to remove this issue. Calling from the 712 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
We're waiting for the Jerry Marine to take me on.
Well, you know, here's the thing. They've asked me to debate you a little bit, Rabbi Rick. So,
you want something now, huh?
Yeah, I don't want. What are you going to do, dude? You're just a caller to a show. But here's the thing I have with you. Dude, I'm going to pot you down just until you can kind of cool your head a little bit. Okay. Now, here's the thing about Rabbi Rick that has really become annoying. He has no class or tact when he talks about people. He has to go to this Jewish angle of calling people cherry Marines. He's got to invoke all this homosexual crap that the Jewish people always do. Why do you do that, Rick?
Hey, Fetch, you know what? Frank was in diapers when I was on the Jew subject.
Why are you so, to use a Jewish term here, why are you so obsessed with this? Why are you so obsessed with it?
The guy's been calling me crazy since the first day I called in.
Well, actually, you're not doing a very good job dissuading that idea. So, okay, what's the next issue?
The last time I called you and I had a little bit of a conversation, the next caller said, why don't you let the guy talk?
Well, go ahead and talk, but try to do it in a way that's semi-sane.
You that doesn't want to hear.
Well, I don't actually. If you can be.
Away our free speech. You're talking about you taking away our free speech. You are the one taking away our free speech. You just want people to kiss your ass.
Well, again, I've seen you say this type of stuff, and here's the problem I have with you. You actually go out of your way to do a lot of mischaracterization, and it's unethical and it's unfair. And this type of stuff, quite frankly, it doesn't hold salt anymore. So I don't see why you should be so well protected when you're so unethical. I mean, I don't mind if you want to post and you want to do things and try to educate people. Yes, I just like a professional. You know, it's called being professional, Rabbi.
The other side is talk.
Rabbi, it's being...
Everything you know, and you destroy everything I wrote with this gematria garbage, which I'll debate you on any damn day of your life.
Okay, you can start.
And now you're in with a Christian identity.
Again,
totally against gematria.
I don't care. It's not my business. Why should I care if they're totally against it?
Yeah.
Why
you
should I? Why should I? Things. Why should I care if they're totally against it, Rabbi?
Look, You don't even know what a Jew is, and neither does Frank. And you guys get on the radio every day
So essentially, you want to get into an...
Not all people. So, they must not want people to really understand the truth, because they have little romper room caller people calling in all the time that don't know.
So I'll tell you.
And you know damn well. So, I've been around for 20-something years before you even got on the scene.
Okay, well, great.
Liberty Forum, you don't even want to talk about it.
You know what? First of all, the scenes.
Because I taught every damn thing you know on that thing.
You didn't teach me anything, dude. You were just somebody I associated with.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to the transcripts and show every time we got into something, oh, here comes Fetch, about 10 minutes later after the argument already started up.
Well, that's because I would be responsible. Obviously, dude, you're living. Dude, hold on. I don't know. Guys, you want to hear this or not? I'm just trying to get.
Hey, where's Frank? Where's Frank on the internet, Fetch? Where's Frank on it? Why
cares?
Can't we have a little
Once
debate?
Again,
everybody can
who
see it.
Cares?
Everybody can see it in writing.
I don't understand what your point is. That's the problem. It's just a bunch of whiny.
My point is, let's get the words out there and just say, okay, Frank, what do you have to say? Get on the forum.
But
we
again,
all know what good forums can do, because forums, the people's words, you can see they're a hypocrite. People don't remember from week to week what somebody says. Like, oh, Trump is a great guy. And then the next 6 months later, after he's safely in office, oh, Trump's a Jew now because Brother Nathaniel said he was a Jew. This is bull crap, man. You want to? That's the stuff that you want to hear on your show? I told you this guy was a damn slime bag from the very beginning. A casino mogul owner. His whole family is Jewish. I mean, his brother was in a Jewish fraternity, and you clowns want to vote him for president. That's the damn crime around here, not me.
Well, okay. Okay, anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Well, what do you have to say? Well,
I'm going to say that
they're going to take away all our free speech.
You know what? You would already had it taken away with Hillary already. You wouldn't have even had 2 years worth of this stuff if you had Hillary. So, okay, the whole thing was to buy time anyways. So I'm not worried about it, because, quite frankly, you wouldn't even
do something.
Rick, you wouldn't even.
People are not doing anything this way.
Rick.
They're listening to Frank North Carolina to call up a radio show and kiss David Duke's behind.
Again, I have nothing to.
David Duke. He was 10 years behind 911, and you know it. He's a waste of damn time.
Okay, now I got a
real.
He's
never going to do anything.
Okay, Rabbi,
anything.
Rabbi. Hold on a second. Frank, go ahead.
Tell Frank.
Wait, he's here
on
the air. Rabbi, please stop.
Well, you're right here on the phone, you punk.
See again. Okay, Frank.
Hey, punk.
Frank, go ahead.
Hey, listen. I do what I can. I try and wake people up where there's billions of listeners, where I can make people think. I can plant a seed to make people curious that maybe Alex Jones.
No, it's not. Rick, hold on. Rick, hold on, man. Rick. All right, going into a break, guys. You guys want to hold this over? Guys, if you want to hold it over, we're going into a break. Guys, we're going into a
Revolution Radio.
Here we
free ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. What am I going
to
do today? It's the Fetch. Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. I don't know if you can still hear that, guys. I hope not. I'm potting everything down, muting everything, and hopefully it's not going out, okay? We'll be back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. On the line right now, I have Frank from North Carolina and Rick from Florida. He's euphemistically known now in the movement as Rabbi Rick. And what happened is I potted them down over the break, but they've been going, I think, the whole time at each other. They don't know maybe that they can't be heard on air. Maybe they do. But just to give you some history, hold on a second. You guys still there? Whoops, let me pot this thing down real quick. Maybe they left the conversation now. Maybe they left. Let me see if I still have anybody online. All right, you guys, are you still present?
I'm still here.
Who's still here? Frank, are you still there? Or did you get off the line?
I'd like to know who calls me Rabbi Rick.
Everybody. No. Actually, Rick, you're called Rabbi Rick by about 30 different people.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, why don't you have them call me and I'll find out
I'm just,
what they know.
Again, I'm just saying that's what you're called, dude. You know, you don't have to get into this constant battle where you're going to go fight everybody at all the time. It's not going to work, quite frankly. The style doesn't work. No, that's the problem we have.
You yourself, Fetch, said that I was definitely one of the first about 911 on the internet. There
nobody
was nobody on the internet about you doing 911. You know that.
That's again, but we are now in 2000.
I've been put into the Jewish category. I put you guys in the Jewish category.
That's fine.
Because you're not going to let me ever tell the truth about Trump. Oh, his whole family's Jewish, but you guys pushed him on
Do you realize? Okay, that's fine. But do you realize we've already talked about this issue like a dozen times? Everybody knows this at this stage.
It doesn't matter, Fetch. You are supposed to admit you were wrong.
I do not have to admit anything when I haven't done it. Rick, I haven't done anything wrong, though. We've already talked about these issues. It's not a big deal.
You haven't done anything wrong. You wanted to lead people into this Trump crap empire that we have now.
Again, the Trump empire is just a continuation of the Likudnik empire we've had for 25 years. The difference is you don't have
the... Why did you vote at all? Why do you say Hillary would be worse?
She would have been worse. Absolutely.
I got to get back to work.
Okay, that's too bad. We lost Rick, man. He was just going to tell us a lot, and he's got to get back to work. So I guess the customer says, you know, I want to talk to you. So, okay, that's Rabbi Rick, everybody. He just, you know, we always have to miss. But anyways, again, Rabbi Rick or Rick, he goes all the way back to the Liberty Forum days. Liberty Forum was a place that really the last of the forums that I ever worked on. I had worked on many, many forums going back to 2001. I was banned by Liberty Forum by a Jew by the name of Natabrow. I remember this guy. He was a video. Hey, Frank, if you want to, Frank, you want to call back on and address any of that, you're welcome to call back. But I was working, there was a guy by the name of, he went by the name of Natabrow. This is kind of ancient history, guys, and how it really works. And this Natabrow guy, he was a film distributor. That's what he really was. He was a film distributor. And I said a few things that were actually kind of innocuous and typical to Jewish fashion. He knee-jerked, went into some obviously ridiculous rant, and declared me the anti-Semite. He happened to be a forum moderator at the time. Either he or others banned me, but others came back and said, listen, privately, we think the banning was wrong. We're going to reinstate you. You did nothing wrong. And so I was reinstated. And Rick was there. He was a personality that went by the name of Chewbacca. And he was always, to me, quite honestly, more of the fringe guys there. He was always kind of abrasive even back then. This idea that somehow he taught me everything. Good luck with that. I actually taught, you know, I was my own personality. I've always been my own personality, to be truthful with you. So no, I don't, he's kind of not wrong. And anyways, I don't know, man, 2005, 6, 7, and we're in 2019 and we're still going to be talking about that time period. It's a little silly to me. Yeah, I like the idea. You can call it ridiculous rants by Rick. But anyways, guys, it's Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. And that kind of screwed up my whole thinking. And what else do we want to move on to? Obviously, there was something that came out of the UK. Obviously, we've just had Brexit has been now canceled. I think all of you have heard about that. And Theresa May, for some 20 years, talked to, not 20 years, some 50 times, I should say, talked about how Britain is going to leave the EU on March 29th. I kind of played that clip Thursday night. But there was a big rally yesterday, and here is a little bit of some of the reporting from that rally.
It has been the most extraordinary day, a day which has seen, I've never seen so many white people in one place. It's an extraordinary story. There are people everywhere. There are crowds everywhere. We're back tomorrow night, 6:30, but until then, that was meant to be Brexit Day. We leave you with some images of the day it actually was and how we got here. That's Channel 4 News.
I'm not sure how that echo went out. But, wow, we are still coming in here. It's kind of a wild day here at Inside the Eye. First, we're going to go to 808 Free and Awake. 808, hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live on Saturday, March the 30th, man.
I hope everyone's enjoying this.
Frank, hold on a second. Frank, hold on. Just let me get to 808. He's on the line right now, and just wait the cue here. I can't put you on hold. So, Frank, 808, go ahead real quick.
Auschwitz swimming pool greetings, Fetch. Okay. And Frank.
Hello.
Go
One
ahead.
Of history's most successful hoaxes keeps on going for 79 years. Yeah. I listened to your show on Thursday when you were discussing the Auschwitz Holocaust.
Yes,
hoax.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm commenting to that.
Oh, very good. Quickly get your point in there, quick. We're going to keep this thing moving. Go ahead.
That was it. That was it. You want to go back to Frank and Rick?
Thank you much. I think Rick is going to be off. But, okay, thanks so much. Frank, you're up. You have to hang up on your side. I can't hang you up, 808, so hang up on your side. Hi. Go ahead, Frank. You can address some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, I just tried to call Rick twice, that's kind of a big deal because, to be honest with you, I don't trust Rick. I don't want Rick having any personal information on me because, I'll be honest with you, I've never been able to figure him out. I don't know if he's a religious fanatic or what, but, I mean, I think he would turn me in. I think just to freaking
spite,
number to the freaking Southern Poverty Law Center, and I can't deal with that.
Yes,
exactly. And I take chances. I mean, I always know Alex Jones might turn me in, or one of his people might turn me in. But I take that chance. I put myself out there, and I take that chance.
No,
I know I'm on the radar.
Yeah, of course
but
you are.
I don't
people
trust
know
Rick.
You.
He might get my number out. Just out of spite. Hell, he might see him. He might have me swatted for all I know. I don't trust him, but I just tried to call him twice. You want to answer?
Yeah, he's working.
But, you know, the thing is, I get the feeling, the little bit that I'm picking up from Rick is, I think his feelings are hurt. I think that's basically what it comes down to.
Me too.
He's not getting enough credit for all the work that he did.
This is as I read it also, unfortunately. I hate to admit that on the air, but it's something that I have felt also that he did make some very good contributions and valid contributions during the heavy forum days of the internet. And the internet forum...
Can you tell me about those? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I mean, he was a personality. He went by the name of Chewbacca at Liberty Forum. He was certainly one of the stronger anti-Jewish forces out there. He was somewhat of a collaborator to myself. Obviously, it was a time when you had to still watch your words because... It was highly policed back then, but I was well liked by some of the admins, not all, some were Jewish. So they tolerated me, but I was managed to create a little niche there and asked Chewbacca, this personality did also create a little niche there. And I think that the times have passed on. We've moved on to a whole different realm of communication. Obviously, we're now in the audio field. So many people use video, as you know. And so I think the times have moved on, and it feels that to me also that some people out there feel that they just haven't their relevance has been lost, and there's nothing we can do for that.
Okay, well I'll leave it at that. I had thought it was religious fanaticism. It may be a little bit of that as well. Maybe I don't know. But when did I get on the internet? I think I first got my first computer home. I mean, I was on the internet for years, you know, doing work at work, like in a corporate environment. But as far as getting internet, I didn't even get on the internet until like 2003. I was like the last person in Charlotte to get the internet. I haven't been on the internet in about 10 years or I don't know. I've lost count. I don't have television. I don't watch sports. This is my main focus of interest. Because I believe that my country is dying, and all I know is I don't know. I don't care. All I know is the people that are leading it. I was told that they were Jewish, and I didn't believe it. I fought it. I used to fight people on the internet, like Mike Delaney and others, and then I finally figured it out. All these people, all the leaders, seem to be coming from this 2% of the population of my country. And you know what? If they tell me they're Jews, if I go and look them up and it says on their Wikipedia page or their homepage or their congressman's page or whatever, if it says, yeah, they're Jewish, or their spouse is Jewish, then I take them at their word. I figured it out for myself that it's being led. This whole thing is Jewish. It's Jewish with other collaborators, opportunists, et cetera. But I don't need anybody telling me. I mean, that's fine if people want to get down into the nitty gritty. But see, they all fight over that. That's why I backed away from it, because even the CIA, the Christian Identity people, and a lot of these people, I mean, they fight. I mean, even that's one thing Alex Jones is right about. He said these people fight each other. They can't get along with anybody.
Yeah,
and
this
Alex
is
Jones is yes, right. People yeah. like Rick cannot get along. He can't get along with anybody.
Yeah. And you cannot build
and
any consensus.
Understand. Sometimes you have to find some common ground.
Yeah, you know,
got to get the word out.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, if you heard the first part of the show, Frank, we were talking about how, you know, I've been under a little bit of pressure, like this call with Rick. You know, you're not anti-Trump enough. You're not anti-Trump enough, but you don't understand the political waves right now or the political environment inside of America. Our main base is right now in love with what Trump is doing on many domestic
right.
issues. We cannot be seen as being angrily anti-Trump, even though we don't like what a lot is doing on the foreign policy. We can't do it, because if so, we are going to alienate a base that we just don't need to be alienating right now. And it doesn't make any political sense.
A base that is mobilized. Right
and
now.
Is
They're
mobilized,
energized.
Yes, and they are still working for our benefit. So why am I going to go and get angry with Trump? Yeah, look, the Israeli side is going to come out. Let's deal with the deep state side of it for now. It is a huge problem. And if he can start to gut some of this and get people and really do it, and again, we all keep waiting, we admit it, but let's see. It's better than if you had Hillary in power, and nobody wants to agree with that. They want to act as if somehow all of this is just making crap up, and it's just wrong. They're not playing politically smart here.
You know, everybody's got an ego. I mean, you love being good at what you do. I take some satisfaction sometimes in some of my calls as far as getting the word out to millions of people. I think I'm pretty good at it, and I get frustrated sometimes that I don't have a whole lot of help doing that. Nobody else will do it.
Yes, I actually agree with you, Frank. I mean, I've heard your efforts. I'm not ignorant to what you're doing, and you're doing something that I wish we had 10, 12, 15, 20 people doing, quite frankly.
And you know, when I was working 70 hours a week, I was still doing it.
Yep, a lot of us are, man.
Day in and day out, every chance I could. I mean, I made every effort.
You know, there was a period, Frank, there was a period here where I was working 16, 17 hours a day and still doing the radio show here. And I was just dead tired, and I don't let it come through. I keep pushing. I don't complain too much. And I appreciate, Frank, this level of effort. And for you to get on the Alex Jones show and talk the way you did, it's who can be complaining? Why would you complain? Quite frankly, why would anybody complain?
I mean, I've gotten Alex Jones, that wasn't even one of my better calls. I was actually deflated. You said he sounded deflated or defeated, and I'm glad you picked up on that. I was hoping that maybe he was a little bit, but it's not about Alex. It's not about waking Alex up. I know Alex Jones knows the stuff that I'm saying. He probably even agrees with it. It's to get to that audience, because I used to be one of those dumb normies, one of those patriotards that didn't know anything, didn't know who was behind everything. The thing is, I feel I'm ready. If it happens, if they show up to my door one day and I'm all over the news and, you know, he's this, he's that, then I'll deal with it. But I'll be honest with you, I like being anonymous. I like the freedom of anonymity, and I'm going to enjoy that as long as I can. And if I start giving information out about myself, it would be real easy for them. And the higher level people, if they want to know who you are, they know who you are. I'm more worried about the low level nutcases that might be in my zip code showing up to my door in the middle of the night. I'm trying to avoid that.
Well, I support what you're doing, and thanks for your efforts and your service, man. Let me get running. You got one quick comment? We want to get to another caller who's standing on the line.
Okay, I'll make one. Thank you.
All right, thanks so much. From the 949, wow, L.A. area, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. That's all I can give out, guys. 949 area code. Okay, I think you dropped from the 949 area code. So if you want to call back in, feel free to call back in. Looks like we did drop you or you dropped. So give us a call right back. And let's see. I'm hearing break is playing. It shouldn't be playing. No, we should be fine. Anyways, okay, go ahead and call us right back again. 1-323-279-1314. That's 1-323-279-1314. And of course, we'll just put you right back up on the air. Where was I? I was playing that clip. It didn't play all that great, quite frankly. I'm not sure why it came out the way it did. But let me play that clip again, and then we're going to comment a little bit about what is happening in the UK. And I want to really focus on the clip a little bit more because it's kind of important to the whole story here. And it's got some echo. I don't know why it's got the echo, but anyways, let's give it a shot. And this is, again, a presenter from the BBC, I believe, talking about yesterday's Brexit protest.
It has been the most extraordinary day, a day which has seen, I've never seen so many white people in one place. It's an extraordinary story. There are people everywhere. There are crowds everywhere. We're back tomorrow night, 6:30, but until then, that was meant to be Brexit Day. We leave you with some images of the day it actually was and how we got here. That's Channel 4 News.
Okay, let me try to get this right. But the key point to raise here is this idea, this guy. Let's see if I can actually find the actual story for this one. Jon Snow is the man's name. Jon Snow is the presenter. He works for Channel 4. And he talked about how there were all these white guys there, all these white people. It's extraordinary. And that really is the extraordinary story. Now, he took a lot of heat for saying that because, hey, there was just a lot of white people there. And then you see what's out there on Twitter. There's this idiot. Quite frankly, she sells herself as a, I believe this woman. No, this is another story. Now, this is a different story. I'm sorry. I can't run with that one. But there were stories about how, you know, all these white people are out there talking on, you know, all these white people. Oh, yeah, here's one. Her name is Janie Godley, and she's at Janie Godley. She says here, global audiences watching these protests on TV and social media must be wondering where London is hiding its black Asian people, because those are only white faces screaming at the press and politicians. Well, Miss Janie, it's traditionally a British country. Therefore, there should not be any black, quite frankly, or other colored faces there, if you want the truth of it. And for this Janie to take some type of, I don't know, adversarial tact is absolutely absurd. Hi, 949, well, area code, new call looks number, a new caller number, it looks like. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live. I can hear him in the background. Hi, are you listening at all? Okay, apparently dropped off. Maybe they're looking for a call listen number, for all I know. But again, here's a comedian, another Jewish asset. Anybody in the media, it's another check mark. But again, why should anybody be taking issue with the British people protesting about what's going on inside of their own countries? Seriously, why should anybody be taking issue with these things? Okay, let's try that again. Hi, from the 949 area code. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Good morning, Fetch. How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you? 949, good. Irvine area, is that correct?
South Orange County.
There you go,
Dana,
man.
Point.
Oh, Dana Point's cool. I miss Dana Point. I used to love taking dinner along Dana Point, dude.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for a while now. I learned about you through Andrew Hitchcock, and I've obviously heard Frank call in to Stormfront, and I actually wanted to engage Frank one day, but I'm glad to make my first call with you.
Well, thank you so much.
I have to say, yeah, well, you know, I listened to you through, I heard about you through Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and, you know, wasn't sooner than that. I wish it was, but I learned about Andrew through David Duke. But I listened to a lot of your shows archived, and I actually listened to this recent show with Breiser and the other gentleman. And man, I'm learning a lot from you, you know, and I love the artillery you're giving me. The most recent one is why should I believe in your Jewish lies and deceit? I think that's a great question. Put them on the offensive.
Yes. Why should we? You won't even let me investigate it. So, okay, I'm the juror. The evidence you've given me is BS, and I'm the juror. Are you going to accuse me of being a juror? I got to vote your way. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I'm going to quit this case and get out of my face.
So one of the recent developments here in South Orange County is they want to rename the John Wayne Airport and take down his statue.
Oh, isn't that
because
nice?
They're cherry-picking an interview he did with Playboy about 30 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I remember when they named it John Wayne Airport, to be honest with you. You know?
Well, as you know, Orange County has changed a lot since those days. I don't think you'd be hard-pressed to even find an orange orchard anywhere in Irvine, let alone anywhere else.
I got a question for you. Obviously, you're down there. Do you drive through Anaheim at all?
Yeah, from time to time. It's gotten very busy in North Orange County. I know a lot of people that have left and pressed on to the Sierras because they're just tired of the traffic.
Well, that would make sense. But I heard that, like, Anaheim, parts of Anaheim have turned almost like into just rows of streets of tents lining the streets. And it's just absolutely like it's not making sense. Tell you what, we're going into a break.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. You know, it's been a kind of a rabble-rousing day today, but I hope you've enjoyed the show a little bit. Kind of giving me a day off. You know, everybody's been filling in my time, which is great. We're happy to have all the callers and our new caller from the 949 area code. Welcome back. I didn't catch your name, so if you could just give us the name real quick, that'd be super appreciative.
Jack in Orange County, California.
Jack in Orange County, everybody. How is Orange County right now? I mean, how's L.A. right now? I haven't been to L.A. so long, so how is it down there?
You know, Fetch, to be honest with you, I live in a little beach town, and I rarely go 30 miles out of the area. I hardly even make it down to San Diego. I'm pretty much immersed in living at the beach as much as possible when I'm not working.
I don't blame you, dude. I used to hang out at Laguna Beach. I used to hang out at Newport Beach a little bit, Huntington Beach. Those are my three main favorite beaches, and also Santa Monica.
Yeah, this is the last part of Los Angeles where, quite frankly, it's white. And, you know, if you go to Irvine, it's Iranian and Asian.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and pretty much from the coastal towns of Huntington Beach, Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, Dana Point, San Juan Capistrano, San Clemente. This is the last bastion of white America here in SoCal, in my opinion.
I would think Manhattan and Redondo are doing okay, though. But you know, us
money there for sure.
Yeah, but you know, those cities are even hard to get into. You know, where the way they're located, they're hard to get into off of the freeway. So they were never really like a favored place to get into. So I guess it keeps us tourists out, even if we're local tourists, you know. But Laguna Beach was much more readily available off the coast. You just kind of cruise down, play some volleyball, swim a little bit, go take dinner up on the hill, enjoy the sunset.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, you know, the hills rolling into the ocean, the green belt and so forth, but definitely been hijacked by the tribe.
That's unfortunate. They steal what we build. Anyways, you've been listening to Inside the Eye Live how long now?
You know, I found you, I came across your name probably a couple of years ago, but there's so many people out there. But at that time, I was following guys like David Duke and listening to Stormfront, Alan Waddick, Cutting Through the Matrix. Yep. And then Andrew Carrington came up with this podcast, and I started to listen to him daily. And then I started to look, you know, around, and I came back to you. And it's probably been a good 4 months, but I've been listening to a lot of the archives. And I wasn't familiar with the Illuminous Observer, you know, studying the esoterica and the occult. And that's something that really brought me towards learning more about who the controllers are.
You know, that was the original reason why I put it out there. I figured if I could put it out there in a subtle occult way, I could like kind of infiltrate minds back when it was like impossible to talk. So it was kind of like a strategy back then.
Well, you're a Jedi on this topic. I mean, I visited the website and digged around a little bit, and you go very deep. You know, I have a lot to learn from you, and I got to spend more time on your website. But yeah, I pretty much came out to California from the Midwest. And I wanted to work in the entertainment industry. I was told by a relative who's a retired Navy captain and a high degree Freemason who works in Hollywood with some of those media controllers, point blank, I got to be Jewish or gay if I want to work in that industry. And that was when I was 17. I got into Los Angeles in Pasadena, and within 3 months, I knew I didn't want to be there, and I got down to South Orange County and lived in this little idyllic beach town area for the last 20 years and haven't thought twice, but roamed up to Los Angeles and studied the esoteric symbology and, you know, mixed around with certain power brokers as much as I could to learn. And I think Freemasonry rules Los Angeles and it rules the entertainment industry aside from other secret organizations, but that's how I got into the esoterica and the occult, was through pursuing it through the entertainment industry.
Yeah, it's all over the entertainment industry, obviously, with all the symbolism they encode in there. It's hard to see it. You know, I've had television and camera operators from Hollywood get booted out because they were caught reading my stuff, believe it or not.
Wow.
They were booted. Kicked out because of researching what I was doing. So because I'm self-taught, they can't really ethically do anything to me, but they can certainly go after those who are paying their dues and doing what they're doing. So I do know for a fact people have been kicked out because of researching and studying my work. So, and they had to have been spied on to even know that they were researching, if you know what I mean. It's that drastically stifling that you have to spy on people to know what they're studying. But, you know, you got to know they're going to my website to know they're going. And the only way you can know is if you're spying on the link. So you got to have some access to the backdoor links to know you were going there. So it's very sinister what's going on. And sometimes you just don't want to think about it. It's so deep, you know, as far as the depth of this spying and this dark energy. It's very, very over domineering, I think is a good way to put it.
Yeah, you know, I've got a background in tech, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of benefits to technology, but, you know, there's conveniences. Here we are talking, you know, across the world, for free on my end, right? And at the same time, all this data activity can be monitored, and, you know, I understand someone like Frank's concerns. I'm equally concerned. I do appreciate my anonymity, but damn it, we got to speak up and we got to do something.
Well,
and if that means we lose our anonymity, the time has come to put our necks on the line and stand up with guys like the Fetch and let them know there's numbers out there and we're tired of it.
Well, that's a great thing to hear. And I'll tell you what, I'm just so tired. I don't know about you, man, but I am so tired of being told about this anti-Semitism crap everywhere. And they're using it to go after us for what? It's like, okay, fine. We really have to just get the strength to say, you know, somewhere along the line, just to take them out equally. And I'm talking about real tactical warfare here. I'm not saying about killing people or anything like that, but take them out tactically.
I agree. There's others that say that, you know, we shouldn't tamper with God's, you know, revelation and his second coming. But, I don't think that's a good insurance program to count on that myself.
Yeah, me either. Do you ever hear the song, Jethro Tull, Kissed by a Witch, Witch's Promise?
The first concert I ever saw growing up in Detroit was at Cobo Arena, and it was Jethro Tull, Crest of the Nave Tour. Yes,
wow.
I know that song.
Okay, that song, Witch's Promise, is about all these people who keep waiting for Jesus to come back. You were kissed by a witch one night in the woods, the Judas kissing Jesus, you know, type of thing, where he says, you're waiting for more, but you've already had your share, type of thing. The Witch's Promise is basically a story about Jesus and people putting too much stock into this coming and saving thing. And I agree with you. It doesn't sound like a great insurance policy to me.
Yeah, and too many of these so-called Christian churches, I don't care what their denomination are Zionist-run churches. And the people that go to these churches don't ask deep questions. They're very simple minded people. I've gone to one church where they pray to God for answering cures and money problems, but they don't pull open the book and, you know, pull out a verse and try to break it down. You know, I like the book of John, you know, where they say, hey, this is the synagogue of Satan. You guys are a den of vipers. Right. Mm. That's what I want to teach my fellow Christian. I really don't have any hope in these people. I think they're walking dead. They're walking towards their own deaths and they don't even know it.
Yes. I once worked for this Jewish doctor, and he was actually a good guy. I mean, he was a pretty good guy, and he treated me very well. One of the few that have. He was very good to me. And he told me, he said, the New Testament, he said, I read the New Testament. I said, you read the New Testament? He said, yeah, I read the New Testament. He said, to me, it's a book about basically how to get rich. Hard work, you know, just put your nose down and do the work and wealth will come. I said, well, I never saw that there, but okay. You know, I guess Jews always thinking money. But he had nothing but praise for the new scriptures, you know, as far as what the message was. He said, I read it. He says, it sounds all very positive to me. He said he didn't have a problem with it.
I equally have met one or two Jews that are very, very decent, straightforward, trustworthy, honest guys. And the reason why is they tell me the truth, and they would reveal things about Jewish culture, Jewish mindset. I had a friend, you know, Jewish guy, tell me point blank, the only solution to dealing with the Jews is to get them all sterilized.
Somebody else has put that out there, actually. Others have said the same thing. Mike in South Carolina says, you know, the best thing we can do is just corral them up and let them breed themselves off this planet.
Yeah, I mean, there's people with a conscience out there. And some of these Jews, you know, this particular gentleman said when he was a kid, you know, going to the synagogue freaked him out and he just repelled from it. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Very bright, artistic, creative individual, very smart, you know, formally educated, yet. Didn't want to have anything to do with anything that he had to deal with as a child. And, you know, I could have sincere conversations with him, and he taught me a lot. So, you know, there's a caller that's been calling into the Stormfront show, which precedes David Duke, who's Jewish. And he's been one of these type of Jews that are just the same, sincere and straightforward. But I think we can learn from them. And I think that's, you know, I overheard Frank this past week when that caller called in the Stormfront, you know, said, I don't want this guy marrying my sister. Right. But we can learn from these people and at least
you know, understand our enemy,
yeah,
right?
That's part of what was the message in the Illuminatus Observer is, look, as for us as not alchemists, but as hermeticists, we have to, you know, the main goal of our craft is to learn from every single person and then put it together and make something better for everybody. And I think that's something that's really a foundation to Western civilization is we have been able to do that, and we have to get back to that. And I know that's hard for a lot of people. But last thoughts, I want to jump on to the next caller. They've been waiting patiently. And thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say, you know, I found you through other people, but I must say you are putting out the best product out there, the most truth that's ever resonated with me. And I will help get your word out there.
Appreciate it.
But I thank you for taking my call today.
Equally,
I will call you back another time.
We're looking forward to that. Thanks for joining the team over here. All your words are important. So thanks so much, man. Thanks for the call, and we'll talk soon.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. 215 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, Fitch. This is Mark the Spark in Philadelphia.
Mark, how are you?
And I'm doing good, doing good. I'm a friend of Frank, North Carolina,
yes,
and also Mike,
yes,
South Carolina. They're the ones turned me on to your show. I want to give credit where credit is due concerning some things that may be happening, well, that are happening. I'm originally from Missouri. So in Missouri right now, I don't know if you're aware of this, they're working towards passing law that will nullify all federal gun laws, past, present, and future. And we'll also make it against the law for any federal authority that tries to come into the state and violate a Missouri citizen concerning gun laws. So it's we should watch that closely over the next several months. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll pass. This was attempted several years back. And the Second Amendment Center called it one of the most incredible pieces of law that was coming forth, that had come forth from any state in a long time. This is back in like 2013, but it ended up that there were some shills inside, and they didn't counter the veto. We had a Democratic governor, and then he vetoed it. But the guys were saying, "Oh yeah, well we have enough to counter the veto." I said, "You better be careful." I said, "They're going to at the last minute pull the plug," and that's what they did. But now, I have a good governor in there, and I think it's going to go through. Anyway, that's one thing.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to, I think I'd mentioned this before about this, or maybe others have mentioned it about this series called Europa, The Last Battle.
Yes, it's been making the rounds. Yes, I have not seen it, but it has been making the rounds, and I probably should go take a look at it, but I have not.
Oh, you should. You really should. It's incredibly revealing, really. And you're aware of most of everything that's there, but there might be a few tidbits that you we're not aware of,
which is
what I do that.
Mark, well, that's actually what I've been told. You know most of it, Fetch, but you're going to find a few things in there you don't know. Give it a listen. Okay.
Yeah. And one other thing, now there's a few other broadcasters on Republic Broadcasting that are pretty good, like Farron there in there in North Carolina, and the alternative media on the Republic Broadcasting Network. But then on Sunday night, we have Robert Ravold. I don't know if you've listened to Robert's
show. I have not. We had somewhat of a falling out, to be honest with you. A few years ago, there were some accusations laid, some mistakes on my part. And then when I tried to apologize, quite frankly, it seemed like I was blown off. So I'm very easy going. I'm quick to blow people off. And so I just said, okay, it's fine. I don't need you type of thing.
Okay.
So. But nonetheless, right. he is well respected within the genre, within certain fields. So go ahead. What do you have?
Right. Well, and I'm not 100% in agreement with him, but because he doesn't really go all the way, if you ask me. But anyway, there's this guy that calls in. His name's Jeff from Idaho, and he's a really intelligent guy. You can tell he's got a very high IQ. He talks really fast, and he covers a lot of ground. But the thing is, he's been bringing this up over the last 8-10 months, a year, whatever, about what supposedly is going on behind the scenes. He thinks that Trump's actually trying to do the right thing, that that there's an inside group that's actually, and then this last Sunday, and by the way, that's on Sunday from 11 p.m. Eastern Standard to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard on Sunday nights on Republic Broadcasting. Anyway, so this last week he had on this Jeff, and they went into, he went into great detail about what's going on. He says, watch over the next 5 months, what's going to happen. Hmm. Now, and I called in and drilled him. So, what he's saying is, he said, there's a leftover group that was started from, Patton's days, that the guys that were really loyal to Patton, and what happened with Patton, that those guys have been organized, through the years, and have kept organized, and supposedly they're forming a group that's gonna you know, go after the bad guys, right? You know, so there's this Anna von Rietz, who's supposedly brought a lot of the unlawfulness to the attention of Trump, and as well as other leaders in the world, talking about common law, getting back to common law, getting, you know, and how we've had our monetary system stole from us around the world, the central banking system, the common law, the sovereignty of nations, the sovereignty of the peoples. And so anyway, I want to mention that to you. Maybe you're aware of this, Jeff from Idaho, and maybe you're, have you heard anything about this, like, inside group that's going to come back and, you know, come?
No, I mean, I have not heard anything, because that's a specific thing. But I've always, look, white civilization typically were pretty smart people, and I just cannot believe that it's just going to lay over and die. You know what I mean? Just lay over. There would be the greatest right. capitulation of civilization in the history of mankind. So not only would whites be credited with having built one of the greatest civilizations the world's ever known, but it will also go down in history as of having been guilty of the greatest capitulation in the history of the world equally, because it literally would just have capitulated to this internal force. And so I'm not convinced right. that we're capitulating that easily. I think it's taken a long time to get people even to get to the stage where we're at now, where we can start to right. do something. And so I have not heard. Now, this thing about Patton, that's an interesting story, because Patton was certainly at an elite level and was well liked by so many people. And I'm sure people knew what happened to him. So that would make some type of sense as far as a rational channel through which some defense would have been formed back in the, you know, post-war days.
Right. Now, and he also brings up this QAnon, and I don't even know really the depths of what this QAnon is. It sounds like it's a psych op, if you ask me. But this Jeff from Idaho says, well, they're using propaganda through QAnon to mislead the enemy. And I'm like, okay, well, so I hammered him. I called in and I hammered him. I said, look, I said, this all sounds great, because he has all this information. And there's some key points, references that he gives that are really seem to be valid. But I said, wait a minute. At the end of the day, who's going to enforce it? Who's going to actually put the boots on the ground and go Correct. After that are in positions of power and influence or authority that are going to go after the bad guys and go in and you know, just, you know, clear them out.
See? Correct.
So, I mean, that's right.
Yes, that's the key point. If you can't project power, then you don't have it.
Yeah. So I'll leave it with this. So one positive here is what one state is doing. It happens to be my home state of Missouri. It could be. It seems like it's a move in the right direction, where a state is standing up and telling the federal government, no, you're not going to enforce those gun laws here, and we are retain our right to bear arms. And this gives encouragement to other states, other peoples of other states, to do the same thing. And maybe we could have a slight breakthrough on that issue, you know? So, what say you about that?
Well, it's good to see anybody standing up. Didn't Missouri come through with the idea that after New Zealand, somebody joked, we should pass a law that says everybody over the age of 18, every male over the age of 18 must actually own a gun and know how to use it responsibly?
Right. That's one of the bills that they're trying to put through, 18 to 35, I think it is. And it's like, and I think they're calling it like a militia law, right? Which is, I mean, isn't the Swiss are required to bear arms, right? They're required, every male citizen or every household is supposed to have a firearm. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yes. I believe the Swiss have a standing army of their civilians. I believe so. Yes. And you know, what's interesting,
yeah,
Mark, is that if you go to places like Venezuela, which is supposed to be so terrible. They're actually arming their people. Okay, well, if they're so afraid of their people, why are they arming them? And why is it that our government is afraid of the arms that we're legally entitled to? So it really kind of like highlights that these people in power are not here for our best interest, because why else would they be worried? If they have our best interest at heart, we're the first to come up to protect them because they work for us. So very real way, the political elite and the political class in America is saying, we are working against your best interest, and therefore we are your enemies. That's the message they're sending out.
I can't
see it.
And on the deal with Christchurch, my understanding was I'd heard that this, and it's a psyop, but that they picked that because New Zealand is the second to America as far as the number of firearms per capita. Is that correct? Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that.
I didn't hear that. I'd heard that somewhere. But anyway, so I'll leave it at that. So thanks again, Fetch, for being here and keeping it keen, keeping it clean, and keeping us honest and, seeking the truth, man, daring to tell the truth. So help you God. Thank you very much, man.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the nice words. All right, everyone. We are rapidly closing out the show here. We got maybe another 1 or 2 minutes to go. So I guess I should just come out of the top of my head and give you guys a closing statement somehow, huh? Facebook, for their part, folks, has come out and said straight and open that they are going to be banning and going after white nationalism. Now, the reality of this is that Facebook, by making such a statement, is openly advocating that they are going to become enemies of Western civilization. Those of us who are part of this European stock line, whether you're German and Irish like myself, or Italian or Swedish or Hungarian, I'll even throw the French in right now. They're fighting more than most of us. We absolutely have a right to preserve and to advance our idea of what civilization should be. What we have to learn is that had Jews not interfered with our national progress, we would be the most advanced civilization ever. And now we've retarded with Jews in command. That's the show, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for the new callers. Appreciate everybody calling in. Catch you Thursday, Inside the Eye Live, primetime, 6 o'clock p.m., right here at revolution.radio. Good night.